These people decided to obey the Lord and began working on the temple. They have said, okay, my priorities are wrong. I want to follow you, Lord God. We'll be about your business. And a month has gone by, and all of a sudden, as we will see, they are very discouraged in doing what is right.
Welcome to this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today's topic deals with something that we all face now and then. And we're talking about discouragement.
You know, Dave, the reality is we are all tempted at times to be discouraged. We set out to do the right thing, trusting Christ, and yet something or someone comes along and our focus is subtly moved off Christ and we become discouraged. So how can we endure when discouragement hits? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today on Equipping the Saints. Our text is Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, there are many things that can cause us to become discouraged. All sorts of things. Certainly physical ailments, lack of sleep, whatever it might be, we can easily be discouraged. There are the everyday normal pressures of life. There are so many things on a daily basis that can cause us to be tempted to become discouraged. People are often the channel in which discouragement comes. And most certainly our own failures and our sin causes us to be discouraged. Now, in most situations, we're tempted to be discouraged. There's much temptation. However, there's one area I believe that we often get caught off guard where we can become discouraged. And that's the area of serving the Lord. We decide to be obedient and we step out in faith and we serve the Lord by His power and strength. And things don't go the way we think. Bad things happen. Situations don't arise the way we thought they would. And we become discouraged. We desire to devote ourselves to Him and His Word, submitting to His will in everything, attempting to raise godly children, attempting to be a godly husband or wife, attempting to serve the Lord by His power and strength in the church. And something comes along like a tire blowing out and we become discouraged. And today I believe our passage we're going to look at in the book of Haggai will help us understand how we can endure when discouragement hits, because inevitably it will. So would you turn in your Bibles to Haggai chapter 2. I want to briefly give some context for the book of Haggai. Now, after the conquest of Canaan, the Jews were in the land for 490 years. Those were the kingdom years. And after Solomon died, the kingdom was divided, the northern kingdom being Israel, the southern kingdom being Judah. During that time, leading up to what would be the exile of the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, prophets continued to prophesy to Judah and Israel concerning their sin. Over and over again throughout Scripture, we see them exhorting them to turn from their sin. But ultimately, the northern kingdom, Israel, was taken into captivity by the Assyrians. We see in 722 BC. And then we also see ultimately that the southern kingdom was taken into captivity also after three sieges, culminating in the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC by the Babylonians. Now, the Jews were in Babylon as exiles, and after the Persians defeated the Babylonians in 539, as prophesied by Isaiah, King Cyrus took over and changed his foreign policy concerning captive peoples. And in 538 BC, he decreed that the Jews could return to their land, and he decreed that they could rebuild their temple, and we see that in Ezra chapter 1 through 3. And about 50,000 devout Jews, exiled Jews, chose to leave Babylon, and they went back to their wonderful, beloved Jerusalem, where they could worship Yahweh and rebuild the temple. And within a year, the temple's foundation had been laid. We see that in Ezra chapter 3. Unfortunately, Ezra also records that they stopped building the temple because of threats from the local Samaritans and the Persian ruler. And in light of these difficulties, it seems understandable that they'd stop for a moment. But however, when these obstacles were removed, they did not go back to the work that they were delivered from Babylon to do. And we see 16 years went by of these Jews taking care of their own business rather than what God had delivered them from Babylon back to Israel to do, which was to rebuild the temple. And we see in the chapter 1, as we looked at, that they spent time beautifying their own houses rather than being about God's work. And that brings us to where we were in the last few weeks in chapter 1. We saw in chapter 1 that God called these people on their misplaced priorities. And if you look at Haggai 1, let's look at verse 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Well, what was wrong? Their priorities were backwards. They were giving all their time and attention to their own houses when they knew that they were delivered from Babylon to actually be about the work of rebuilding his house. And things were backwards. And we saw when we looked in chapter 1 that we need to listen to God's analysis, thus says the Lord, concerning our priorities. That if we're not in the Word of God, we're not going to understand if our priorities are off or if they're right. And then we saw that God revealed the symptoms of misplaced priorities in the life of his people. And he commanded them to consider their ways, to set their hearts upon their ways, to give the utmost attention and reflection upon their ways. And we see this in verse 5. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is nothing to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Set your heart upon your ways. And when we looked at this chapter, we saw that there was an overwhelming dissatisfaction. Although they had these things, it was as though there were holes in their pockets. And we saw the first symptom of misplaced priorities in the life of a child of God, which is they're not filled, they're not satisfied, an overwhelming dissatisfaction. I want to ask you, are you dissatisfied with life? If you're a true believer and you're trying to do anything but what God has called you to do, you're not going to be satisfied. Because God is a gracious God who disciplines those in whom he loves. And then we saw the second symptom of misplaced priorities for the child of God, verses 9 and 10. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. That's the Lord speaking. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because my house which lies desolate, while each one runs to your own house, to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I called for a drought on the land, and on the mountains, and on the grain, and on the new wine, and on the oil, and on the what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, on all the labor of your hands. God's disciplinary hand was on them. Nothing they could do would prosper. And we saw there was a dryness. God was blowing away the works of their hands. So at this point, we saw what they were to be doing. Verse 8. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and glorified, said the Lord. That's what the Lord wants, to be pleased and glorified with his work through his true people. They were to please and glorify God, and this should be the reason behind everything for us. And we looked at the imagery of the temple, that although this was a physical temple in Jerusalem, we saw that we needed to understand that imagery. That in the Old Testament, the tabernacle and the temple was a place where God could manifest himself, where he could dwell in a sense, so his people could see his glory. And when we come to the New Testament, we see that the Word tabernacled among us. He dwelt among us and became flesh. That's the Lord Jesus. And we know from Scripture that we now are the body of Christ, that we are the temple of the living God. There's so many passages that are wonderful, that God dwells in us. When we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive His Spirit as a pledge, and the living God dwells in us. We see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and 1 Corinthians 6, and Ephesians chapter 2 in the end, where we see we're being built up in a holy dwelling place for the Lord. And what should be our priority, as we are the temple of God now, should be bringing glory to God and pleasing Him. And if we are about our own business rather than what God has revealed in His Word, you will experience His disciplinary hand if you are truly a child of God. And God says to you and I today, consider your ways. Set your heart on your life, on your ways. And that was what we saw the first time we looked. And there was four sermons in the book of Haggai, the most dated book in the New Testament. And last time we looked, we saw the response of those who were exhorted to consider their ways. They were told flat out their priorities are wrong by God. And they were exhorted to consider their ways. And then we saw the response. We see it in verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people showed reverence for the Lord. We saw that word obey is the word to listen. It's the word translated hear in the great Shema. Hear, O Israel, or listen. And we saw that any time we are told to listen in Scripture, it is to listen with the intent of obeying. And our problem is that we come to church and we don't come with the intent of obeying what God has said. And these Israelites were convicted of their sin, and they listened to the words of the Lord through Haggai the prophet with the intent of obeying what they were told. And it says, not only did they listen, they feared the Lord. When we sin, we're not fearing God at all. We do not fear the living God. We do not reverence Him as God, and we as His people. And so they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. And I praise the Lord. Earlier, the Lord God said, this people, there was a distance between them and God. And then He says, they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. And they showed reverence for the Lord. That's the response we have to have and we need to have when we are convicted of our misplaced priorities. If you are not about the work of the Lord, not by your power and strength, but by His power and strength, then your life, if you're a true believer, is going to be unsatisfying. It's going to be empty. It's going to be vain, because God is a gracious God and He will discipline you. And these Jews had been about their own business for 16 years. And I want to ask you, if you're a believer and you're as old as I am or older, what have you done in Christ in the last 16 years? The Lord wants us to respond rightly, hearing and fearing Him. And then we saw God's response to their response. When you are willing to just do what God says from your heart, and you fear and reverence the Lord for who He is, you hear His word, willing to do it, you fear Him, then God responds in a wonderful way. And we see this here in this chapter, verse 13. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you. Before he said, this people, there's a distance between us. He's still there, God, but there's a distance. And now he says, I am with you. That's what we need. We need to know that we're with the Lord. The Lord is behind what we are doing. Now we know the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us if we're true believers. But certainly when we're in sin, the Lord is not with us in any way, shape, or form. Don't deceive yourself. If you're sinning, God is not with you in what you're doing. But when you decide to confess your sin and to be about what He says and fear and reverence the Lord, He says, I am with you. What a wonderful statement. That's what we need, to know the Lord is with us in what He has called us to do. And notice He not just shares His presence here, He shares His empowerment. Verse 14, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. And we saw the last time we looked, Zerubbabel was the man who would be king. He was in the line of Christ. He should have been a king, but there were no kings at this time. He was the governor of this portion. And we have Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And then we see the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord their God. They obeyed the Lord. And that reveals, that brings us to our passage today, when we see the Lord God now addressing their discouragement in the midst of their obedience. Let's turn to Haggai chapter 2, and let's start in verse 1. On the 21st of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, 'Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison?'" So how can we endure when discouragement hits? First of all, I believe we need to let God reveal the true cause of our discouragement. We need to let God's word reveal why we are really discouraged. We need to let God use his word to convict us. And we see here in this passage now that almost a month has gone by. We have the exact date since these people decided to obey the Lord and began working on the temple. They have said, "Okay, my priorities are wrong. I want to follow you, Lord God. It'll be about your business." And a month has gone by, and all of a sudden, as we will see, they are very discouraged in doing what is right. The Lord had convicted them, and instead of confronting them at this point now, because they're obeying, he needs to encourage them. And I believe we're going to see, first of all, we need to let God's word reveal the reason why we're discouraged. Again, verse 1, on the 21st of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of all the people." We see again this statement, the word of the Lord by the hand of the prophet. It is the word of the Lord, the great I am. It is Yahweh. The self-existent one is speaking now, and this is where our passage starts. And we see, first of all, the analysis in these first few verses is not their analysis. It is God's analysis, the word of the Lord. And that is the only analysis that matters. Our analysis is flawed through our sinful minds. But God's analysis is perfect. And we see here, the word of the Lord came. We need to be careful that we don't trust in our own wisdom when we get into difficulties. We need to be careful that we don't lean on our own understandings. And there are many passages concerning this, but I want to share a couple. Proverbs 28:26 says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool." If you rely on your own wisdom and understanding concerning your circumstance, you are a fool. Proverbs 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes." Jeremiah chapter 17, very wonderful portion. Let's turn there for a second. Jeremiah 17. So when we become discouraged, do not use your own wisdom and analysis to figure out, why am I discouraged? We need to be in the Word of God and let it convict us. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Jeremiah 17, 5. "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength." And here's the core problem. "And whose heart turns away from the Lord." You trust in your own abilities. You trust in your own wisdom. God says you're cursed. And if you do that on a continual, habitual basis, it's an evidence that you don't know the Lord. "For he will be like a bush in the desert, will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony waste in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant." But verse 7, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by water that extends its roots by stream and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will it cease to yield fruit. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Our hearts are deceitful. Don't be wise in your own eyes and analyze your problems and then address those things that way. We need to hear, thus saith the Lord, concerning our circumstances, and we need to trust in the Lord. And that's what the Lord is doing in this passage. And folks, if you're not in the Word of God, you may certainly be experiencing the symptoms of God's discipline, but you're not going to be able to evaluate them correctly. If you're in a church that doesn't preach the Word of God and teach the Word of God, if you're not studying the Word of God yourself, you're not going to be able to evaluate your circumstances rightly. We need to be in the Word of God like the blessed man from Psalm 1. So what is the only analysis that matters concerning our circumstances? It is God's. And I want to ask you, whose analysis have you been listening to? You can listen to a lot of analyses. A lot of people come alongside and claim to speak for God, but they don't give you God's word because they fear man. Or they don't love the Lord. Whose analysis have you been listening to? So the first and most important step is letting God reveal the cause of your discouragement. Now, what might have caused these people to be discouraged? Let's take a look here. Verse 3, back in Haggai chapter 2. I believe we're going to see its comparison. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? 520 BC, God now asked them to consider Solomon's temple, which was destroyed in 586 BC. And he is saying, who is left among you? This implies there were not many old timers that were left who had seen the temple in its former glory. Solomon's temple was a magnificent temple. And these people would have been small children now, very elderly men and women. It was 66 years earlier that the temple was destroyed. And even 16 years earlier, when they laid the foundation, Ezra reveals this response. And let's turn to Ezra chapter 3. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Ezra chapter 3. And this is 16 years early. This was when they had come out of Babylon. They were working on the house of the Lord. They laid the foundation, then they let it go for 16 years. But this was when they were actually obeying 16 years earlier. Ezra 3, verse 10. Now when the builders had laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, give us some ways that we can begin to combat discouragement in our walk today.
Well, Dave, as we saw in today's passage, there are a number of ways that discouragement can creep in on us. One of those is by comparison. And when we pull our eyes off Jesus and start to compare ourselves and our circumstances with others, this inevitably leads to discouragement or pride. Brother, sister, if you're prone to compare, confess your sin to the Lord, then just ask him to help you in this area. Get in his word, memorize it, take those verses that apply specifically to what you're struggling with, and fix your eyes on Jesus, not on your surroundings. Ask a godly friend to hold you accountable when you begin to compare yourself to others. You can have, in Christ, victory over comparison, and it begins by confessing to the Lord. If you struggle with the sin of comparison, then today is the day to turn from that and to walk rightly with the living God. The next step is up to you.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here, for another edition of Equipping the Saints.